Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We hit the field light. All day light. All night light. Here we go. Keep it on. We don't have a light.
This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast with James Rapine and Daryl Ryder on 92.3thefan.com.
What up and welcome into another edition of the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. We are your beat writers with 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Rapine. It's great to be back for another podcast. Plenty to talk about with last night's 23-3 Browns victory over the New York Football Jets. We will get to that. For the majority of the podcast, we'll talk about the Tribe, who are still clinging to American League wildcard hopes as well. A quick reminder, you can subscribe to this podcast, have it delivered to any device you want on Stitcher, the radio.com app, iTunes, Google Play, and be sure to leave us a 5-star review so more Cleveland sports fans can find this podcast. Let's start with the Browns, Daryl, and you've done a great job. There's a ton on the Browns on our website at 92.3thefan.com. They get the victory. Some people not as excited as others. To me, it was a must-win game. We sat in this very room last week, said it was a must-win game. And I don't care how bad they looked, if they looked like a high school football team, if they looked like a 1AA team in the Jets, especially when Trevor Siemian went down. It doesn't matter. They got the victory. That's where we'll start. I think that that's a good place to be if you're the Browns. You needed to get the 1-1, and they did just that.
A win is a win. That's what that was last night. They went to New York. They handled business. It was pretty sloppy. If they play like that against their next five opponents, I don't know that they win a single game, but they handled their business in New York. They're still clearly sorting through some stuff on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know what's going on with Baker Mayfield and some of the accuracy issues that he's going through right now. If you want to make the argument, maybe they should have played in the preseason together more or whatever. But bottom line, they went, they handled their business, they got in, got out, and now it's on to the Rams.
Have you seen Remember the Titans?
A few times.
Okay. So, and I'm sure most of you listening have seen Remember the Titans. There's a part where they win 13-10 or something like that early in the season. It's a real close game. And I forget who... I think it's the running back, but I forget exactly who it is. And he turns to one of his teammates and he says, if we play like this against Groveton, we're going down. We don't have any heart out there this week. Yeah, well, it's gut check time now. Now it's time. You get the win on the road against inferior competition. You only allow 3 points. The defense looked really good and really, you could argue, should have had a shutout. There's some penalties and things we'll discuss. As far as the offense is concerned, it does take time, especially with no preseason. And here's the other thing. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Damian Ratley, they were playing without Rashard Higgins yesterday, and Baker Mayfield, they haven't played together. You lose David Njoku. Like, there's a lot of movement. Obviously, the offensive line's still in flux, too. So I kind of expect this. I wasn't expecting them to average 40 points right away and be the Chiefs' offense right away. They have that potential to be extremely explosive. It's going to take some time, and I think a win like that last night, they know that. Like, afterwards, listening to Baker and Freddie Kitchens, it's not like they were ecstatic. It's not like they're popping bottles like, yeah, we won. It wasn't like beating the Jets last year. It almost felt kind of somber, and it's because I think they know they have a lot to work on.
Yeah, and that's exactly how they felt after the game. I think, as Freddie Kitchens said, you'd rather work on stuff coming off a win than a loss. And so they're kind of, in that regard, a step ahead of the game. Offensively, they only sustained 2 drives, James. The opening drive, 11 plays. The final drive of the game, I think, went 9 plays. That was it. Everything else, they had like 6 drives where they got 6 plays, they were off the field. And the rest of them were less than 6 plays. That is what bothered me most, is they didn't have any consistency with sustaining drives. They didn't have any type of an offensive rhythm. Thank God for Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
The one-handed catch, the 89-yard catch and burn Greg Williams toast. Like, those were your highlights. I'll give Nick Chubb some love. 19-yard touchdown run. I got to give him some love for that. But outside of those three plays, that offense last night was really, really painful to watch. It really was. And you could tell they were trying to minimize the pressure that Greg Williams was going to be able to throw at them, especially on the right side of the offensive line. Chris Hubbard had a tight end glued to his hip the entire night. Mm-hmm. You saw Greg kind of trying to disguise and confuse Baker a little bit. He'd show him one coverage pre-snap, go into a different coverage once the ball was snapped. I think that might have messed with Baker a little bit. But let's not forget, this was his 15th start?
Mm-hmm.
My math is right?
16th. I believe it was 16th.
Well, no, he started 13 games last year plus 2 equals 15.
Okay. Well, if it was 13 last year.
The Jets
started,
game,
started. Right. Yeah.
16th game if you want to count the Jets, but that from last
year. But he didn't start.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't count as a start, and Tyrod Taylor actually got credit for the win in that game.
Because he really well-deserved for Taylor.
Yes, but that's the way NFL statistics work. Just like in baseball, they have those screwy statistics when it comes to wins. Closer comes in, blows the game. Tie game or gives up the lead, walks off the mound. If the home team gets the walk-off victory, guess who gets the W?
Yep.
The closer who almost blew the game. So it is just his 15th start, and there's going to be growing pains. And I think Pat Mahomes is like the exception to the rule, because I know people listen right now say, "Well, Darryl, Pat Mahomes is lighting it up in Kansas City. There's no growing pains there." You're right. I mean, I think Pat Mahomes though is the exception to the rule.
Absolutely he is. He's different. Like, that Chiefs offense is insane, right? They're ridiculous. And they have a better offensive line, by the way. And they have...
includes two former Cleveland Browns. Continue.
And you know what else they have? A better offensive play caller. But Andy Reid is much more established and just on that level. Sorry, he just is. Maybe Freddie Kitchens gets there one day. He should aspire to be that. He's not there yet. So it's same with Baker and Pat Mahomes. I'm with you on Odell. And I think it was good, especially in his return to New York. And I know it's same stadium, not same team. But it was good for him to get off a couple huge plays, big gains, get his confidence up. Because let's say they win 13-3 yesterday against that team.
Ooh.
And he doesn't have big plays. He doesn't have that one-handed grab. He doesn't have the catch and run of 89 yards setting a career high. Some doubt might creep in, just a little. Instead, he was clearly the best player on the field. He changed the game. He made his imprint on the game. And that's why you go get him. Because at a moment's notice on your 11-yard line when your offense is struggling, a quick just slant, a quick, all right, hey, take this and run. He can do that. And that it was a game changer, and I'll also say it helped me win my fantasy matchup. So I was extremely excited.
Now we know why James is all over the smoochies with Odell Beckham Jr.
I'm just saying. But you're right. Outside of those plays, the offense looked dreadful. And I get why people are worried. I do think it is refreshing that we're at this point where the Browns can win 23-3, and it's like, what the hell is going on? 23-3. What's going on? What's wrong with this offense?
Well, because they should have won 46-3. That's
sure.
Why.
No, and you're right. And that's so the standard is different. So I
that's but how. But see, here's the thing. This is how far we've come. It's similar. We've gone back and forth with the Indians on this. Like, my standard for the Indians is win the damn World Series. Like, that's just my standard now, because they elevated their franchise under Terry Francona.
Mm-hmm.
So my standard for the Browns now has raised. It's no longer happy to get the win and get out of there. It's how you win and how well you play or don't play in the win. Now, the good news is that the Browns were able to play a less than clean game, especially on the offensive side, and they still won by 20 points. Granted, the Jets were on their third quarterback. They were without C.J. Mosley in the middle of that defense. which was, you saw it last night, a big loss for New York. But they still won by 20 points. It's a three-score victory. And we can sit here and complain that they, A, only won by 20, B, the offense lacked rhythm, lacked consistency, lacked flow, lacked some creativity at times. And yet we're not really crediting the defense with much of anything. And I don't know if that's just because, you know, the defense got off the field twice on fourth down. I mean, OBJ's touchdown came right after a defensive stop. It was 16-3 at that point. And had the Jets gone in and scored, you're talking 16-10, one score game, and all of a sudden Browns start puckering up a little bit.
Sure.
Okay. So that stop that they got defensively on fourth down that preceded Odell's 89-yard touchdown, that was a huge, huge play in that game last night.
It ends it. Massive. Because it sets up the game for Odell, and he knocked it out of the park, and it's over.
Right.
You know, and it puts the game on ice. But you're right. And that's the thing, is good teams, when they're a tick off,
find a way to win.
When they're still figuring out offense, when they're still figuring out, like, Baker threw it over Odell Beckham Jr.'s head in the first half.
Which, by the way, Odell got twisted, turned, held,
agreed,
tackled, no flag.
It was not a great ball, though, by Baker.
No, just, it wasn't. He sailed it.
Yeah, but you're right. It should have been a penalty, no doubt about it. Those are the things that he's going to hit, right? They're just a tick off, and in football, it can look really, really, really bad if you're just a tick off.
Yep.
Like, awful. Like,
if you're a tick off, it's a pick.
Correct. You know, and it's just... that's the thing. It's not just Baker, because he is off. He's not what we saw at the end of last year.
But listen, let's give Baker credit on the dime he threw the one-handed catch for Odell. He put that ball where only Odell was going to catch
it. No doubt.
So while we're dissecting, and again, I'm not arguing with you, Baker was off. He was off week one in Tennessee. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's the wrist. I don't know if it's because they didn't get the preseason reps with these guys. Because practice speed versus game speed, two completely different things. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how much you try and simulate that in practice, which obviously we know that Freddie Kitchens tried to do, it's different. But Baker's going to have to get that figured out and get it figured out rather quickly. Because Aaron Donald and the Rams of Los Angeles are going to be rolling into town.
Mm-hmm.
And what Myles Garrett did last night to the Jets, I'm really worried that Aaron Donald is going to be doing that to Baker Mayfield Sunday night.
Certainly could. And that's why those quick slants, quick hits are so valuable.
Let me ask you this.
And those are the things that offense, that, and I am kind of bummed that they didn't get Nick Chubb. We sat here last week and it was like, Nick Chubb, 100+. I want him to dominate the game. And there was just no chance of that yesterday. That's the one thing I think the Jets defense did relatively well is I don't want to say eliminate Chubb, but prevent him from having a big game.
They contained him. Mm-hmm. They contained him. Let me ask you this. Do you think, because I felt this after the Titans game, do you think that Baker's looking to make the big play too much early?
See, I didn't see that yesterday.
I didn't either. I'm just curious.
Yeah,
I
get why people said that against Tennessee, and especially in that fourth quarter when they were just playing catch-up, I understood while Baker was trying to get greedy. You have to. But, no, yesterday, it didn't. And heck, we have the game on in here. He just gets a ball batted. And so there's a little bit of that. But, like, the target I was talking about with Odell wasn't far downfield. It was for a first down. You know, like, a lot of the stuff, there weren't really opportunities for
big plays.
It was
a quick
plays.
Seam route. It was like a 12-yard seam route. That
Damian Ratley is the guy who had the two bigger catches, you know, outside of the Beckham one-hander. Through the air catches.
Yeah, and then just what Odell caught it, and he just outran everybody. So it's not like Baker uncorked a 50-yard throw down the field. I mean, it was a 12- to 15-yard seam route that Odell turned into an 89-yard touchdown. By the way, Greg Williams, Odell is one of the most prolific players in the National Football League.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
You know what it was, though? That was Greg being a dick to be a dick.
Yep.
That's exactly what that was.
Sure.
You know, but that's Odell trashed him the day before. So Greg being who he is, Mr. Tough Guy. That's all it was. Like, I'm sure Greg Williams felt that Odell is one, but he's not going to give Odell the satisfaction or the respect.
The Jets just traded for Demaryius Thomas. Of course they would love Odell Beckham Jr. on their football team.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the first things I said, and I didn't tweet it out. It was one of the first things I thought. And
that's just Greg being Greg.
Honestly, I was surprised that the Jets weren't more physical. I was surprised. And they were grabbing him early, and they were. They showed it multiple times. There could have been multiple flags. They called one hold that I remember. But they could have called a ton. But I was surprised that he wasn't getting hit and popped and pulled and grabbed every single play. And not just him. You know, the entire Browns offense. And it felt like early on they kind of got past that. And the other thing is, you're the Jets, and there was a point of no return where you just knew that they were going to lose.
Yeah. I mean, part of it in the fourth quarter when the Browns were up 23-3 and they're just, you know, trying to run this thing out and get the hell out of there. Part of me was like, can we get Gilbert in there now? Can we just get Baker off the field? Like, business is handled. I know there's stuff that we're, but just get him out of there because I don't want anything to happen.
And to me, I think it. But I think it's.
That speaks to Greg, though. The fact that he has that, like, the fact that that thought even entered my mind is why Greg Williams has the reputation he has, and he will never live it down. And mm-hmm. I don't think he will ever be an NFL head coach. The fact that I'm thinking that one of his players is going to do something that's borderline
shady, on the line, toe the line, maybe cross the line a little bit.
The fact that
that
thought entered my mind tells you all you need to know about Greg Williams.
Sure. In we all thought
you'd
that
love
last
him
week.
If he we loved him for 2 years when he was with the Browns, okay. But now that he was on the other sideline, not a fan.
I think he's a little overrated.
I do too. You know what?
You know,
I said
he's a little overrated.
Greg, you know who Greg reminds me of? The Ryan brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, where they're like old school, physical, defensive minds.
We had Rob here.
Sure.
And he was Eric Mangini's defensive coordinator, and it was the most entertaining, because Mangini's press conferences were as bad as Bill Belichick's, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that team was extremely disciplined, and I've said this, had Mangini been willing to if Mangini was willing to subjugate his ego for a GM like John Dorsey, like if Eric Mangini was the Cleveland Browns coach right now,
it'd be a good fit.
This team would win a Super Bowl. Because Mangini's that good of a coach.
Wow. Okay. How about that for a take? It's a take. It's considered a take. Keep going there.
Well, when you're bringing in Kaluka Maiava and David Vekune, all these guys that, like, it's fine you got smart players, but can they play the freaking game, Eric? That was Eric's big problem here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it was a very disciplined team. They just weren't very good. They just didn't have good players, okay? He was too busy focused on picking paint colors. And
why the heck didn't you recommend Eric Mangini 6-8 months ago?
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These aren't the Cavs. We're not hiring Mike Brown to come back.
Yeah, I'm with you.
My whole point is that this team needs to exercise discipline. And its leaders need to exercise that discipline. Looking at you, 95, I know that the roughing calls sometimes are a little BS, but that's on you to know that stuff. His two roughing calls last night.
I don't think either one was BS, by the way. I think they were both late. I think they both warranted a flag, and I think that if it happened to Baker Mayfield, everyone would be yelling that it deserves a flag. It was ridiculous. It was dumb by him.
He got a 2-for-1 on one play. It was a 3rd and 9. From the Jets' own 10. He was called for offsides, which was negated because he also had the roughing the passer penalty, and they elected to take that one. And his second roughing the passer call came on a 3rd and 16 that gave the Jets a first down. You have to be smarter. Now, love Garrett. I'm not ripping on Miles. These are just little things. Again, you won by 20. We're nitpicking. A 20-point win, but these are things that elevate you.
Sure. If Odell Beckham Jr. had two big plays and they were called back or at least taken back a little bit because he had face masks when he's going to stiff arm a guy and right. he's grabbing their face mask and throwing them down. We'd be like, all right, Odell, don't grab the face mask. Instead of a 60-yard play, that's only a 40-yard play because we lost 15 yards. Like, yep. Same thing with Miles. We know he's great, and hell, he's looked dominant the past 2 weeks. 5 sacks in 2 games. That is a great start. That's the type of defensive player of the year type of numbers. But you know what you can't do? Have the roughing the passer calls. Because against the Rams...
And not only have the roughing the passer calls...
Against the Rams, it's a touchdown.
But have them on third and longs.
They're going to go score. You get off the field against the Rams, that's a blessing. And if you don't, or if you give them an extra down, Cooper Kupp's going to be open. Or Brandon Cooks is going to burn Denzel Ward. Or the tight end's going to be open. Or Todd Gurley's going to find a way to leak out of the backfield and make a big play. And I could go on and on and on, because that's what they have is playmakers. So you cannot do that in games that matter. And he knows that, right? He's going to learn that. But you're right. The discipline factor. The penalties were better yesterday. Not where they need to be to win against the Rams at First Energy Stadium on Sunday. They're not. So it'll be interesting to see if they can continue to clean those up. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Rapine. This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. Up next, let's continue the Browns conversation. We will continue that, and we'll talk a little about a star player who has demanded a trade, and if the Browns should be interested. Plus, we'll talk a little Tribe as well. That's next on the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back into the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. I'm James Erpine. He is Daryl Ryder. We are your beat writers for 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com. A quick reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at WriterWrongFan, at James Erpine. Make sure you do that and subscribe to the podcast that we'll do each and every week during this football season. All right, let's continue the Browns conversation. A win is a win is a win. One thing that we have to talk about, the AFC North dramatically changed yesterday.
Yes, it did.
And while the Ravens have looked great the first 2 weeks, their opponents, you can question that. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, I believe in him. You don't. We'll see what happens there.
It's not one time.
You don't. I do.
It's not that I don't believe in Lamar Jackson.
Here we go. Backpedaling. He's backpedaling like a defensive back.
I am not backpedaling at all.
Backpedal.
He is off to a phenomenal start.
Backpedal. Anyways,
Baker v. Lamar is going to be very fun to watch.
This isn't even a Lamar topic, which is even better. It sucks in a way because I never root for injuries. Ben Roethlisberger, elbow injury, going to sideline him for the rest of the year. Doesn't need Tommy John surgery, but needs elbow surgery. So he's going to come back. They plan on bringing him back. So what they did is they put him on IR and they trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick, a first-round pick. I actually like the trade a lot. But it also says that they like Mason Rudolph. So here's what I'll say. I wouldn't count out Pittsburgh. I don't think they're going to win the division, and right now I have them third in the AFC North after the Ben Roethlisberger injury. But maybe Mason Rudolph's better than we think. So let's not just laugh at the idea that the Steelers can beat the Browns this year at one point or another in one of those games. But obviously a huge loss, and it changes the dynamic in the AFC North.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben is the franchise. Now, you know, we'll see what they're able to do going forward with Mason Rudolph, but they clearly believe in him because that – I tweeted this after the trade was made. That is a we have not given up on our season type of trade. When you give up your first-round pick the following year to bring it – to bring in defensive help. I mean, that is a we're still in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Rudolph looked pretty good Sunday.
Yeah, and honestly, obviously I covered the Bengals. The Bengals are really high on Mason Rudolph in that draft. The Steelers traded up to get him ahead of the Bengals. The Bengals had two picks.
Smart move.
So
who knows? Which the Steelers usually do in the draft.
Exactly, and that might pay off. It's interesting, and I love the Minkah Fitzpatrick. I love him as a player. Love him. And if you're the Steelers, let's say you go 8-8. Not 10-6, not playoffs. Everyone's saying top 10 pick. The Steelers don't really have a top 10 pick. They usually find a way to get to 7-9. Let's say they go 7-9, right? And they're right where the Browns were last year in that range, you know, 15-17. Right. Minkah Fitzpatrick with a 15th pick. You know what you're getting with him. You don't know what the hell you're getting with the 15th overall pick. So to me, no-brainer makes sense. Now, it could crash and burn if they end up with a top 5 pick and they end up being awful. I just don't think they're going to be awful. The Steelers are very rarely awful. They have a culture. It's almost like the Indians these days. Like, the Indians weren't going to be awful with all these injuries. I'm surprised they're as good as they are. Steelers aren't going to be awful.
Yeah, I mean, 7-9, 8-8, 9-7, those are subpar seasons in Pittsburgh. Here, we celebrate them.
Well, it was the first one in quite some time.
You know?
Yeah. Since 2014.
And that's the difference. And again, I used the Indians analogy earlier. It applies. Like, the standards just are different, whether that's fair or not based on the individual circumstances that led to the below standard type of season. Like, for the Indians, it's just been, they've been decimated with injuries. But the bottom line is if they're not competing to win the World Series every year under Terry Francona, it feels like a wasted year.
Mm-hmm.
And wasted and missed opportunity. And where the Steelers are concerned, you know, they have a system down there, and this is what happens when you have a stable organization. I laugh at Steeler fans that say, "Oh, fire Mike Tomlin." Look at what the Browns have been through, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike Tomlin's a really good football coach. I know that it's the Marty Schottenheimer thing, but Tomlin's won a Super Bowl. Schottenheimer never won a Super Bowl.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the, you know, you have the 11-5 or the 12-4 seasons, and then you crap the bed in the playoffs, whether it's the division round, the championship round, or the Super Bowl. Andy Reid, same thing. That's like the big thing with Andy is, yeah, great regular season coach, but then the playoffs come and he doesn't get it done. Now, I have picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl this year. I'm counting on them to make me look really, really smart.
Mm-hmm.
But now that the Patriots have Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon, I don't know that that's necessarily going to happen, but Chiefs Patriots in the AFC title game seems to be all but a lock at this point, but the standards just are different with those winning organizations.
Yeah,
and that's the level that the Browns are aspiring to get at. The fact that again that we're dissecting and picking apart and complaining about a 20-point victory just speaks volumes positively about how far the Browns have come. Like, our expectations for them have not, that, you know, it's last year, we're not sitting here saying, you know, Baker Mayfield was off the defense. You can't have those roughing penalties and extending the Jets' drives offensively for them. Or, you know, we're just like high-fiving the Browns for winning a game. But see, things have changed in the last year.
Expectations are different. Talent is different. Roster's different. Coach is different. Quarterback, you expect to take a step forward. And so when it feels like
that doesn't happen, you're like, what the hell's going on?
Right.
What's going on in Berea? Why are they not better than they are?
I think the Jets go into next week's game with New England. I think they're like the Dolphins. They're like a 20-point dog.
Yeah. I'm Luke Falk. He's going to start in New England in Foxborough against Tom Brady.
Good luck with that.
That is a nightmare. Yeah. Especially with that Patriots defense. They're legit. They are legit in Foxborough with that defense. So I think that it's, and this is social media and the instant reactions, a lot of people are going to get cold-taked. This is my prediction. In a year or 6 months, when it's like, oh, the Miami Dolphins, who haven't been good since Dan Marino, at least not consistently. Oh, they pulled a fast one on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look at that, a first-round pick. That could be the first overall pick. Stop it. Say it out loud. The Miami Dolphins pulled a fast one on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I love the trade for Pittsburgh. Anyways, before we transition here, one thing I want to say, and then what we can talk about, any more Brown stuff you want to talk about. But Jalen Ramsey demands a trade, requests a trade per his agent, per multiple reports.
Yeah, good for him.
Great player. A player that if you're looking to win the AFC, especially when you mentioned Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, that's the standard. I think you have to consider it. If you're any team that expects to contend in the AFC, I would have mentioned the Steelers before the Ben injury. Obviously, they added Minka Fitzpatrick. So why not, if you're the Chiefs, inquire? I think Dallas should be interested. I think the Browns should be interested and give a call. I think a lot of teams should be interested. Yay or nay, you cover the team. Jalen Ramsey, should John Dorsey make that call? The report is they're asking for a first-round pick. I think it goes without saying that that's what it will cost, at least starting out, is the 2020 first-round pick of the Cleveland Browns. Would you consider that?
Well, I consider it. I just don't know that where they're at. I mean, if I'm trading for Jalen Ramsey, then I would have to, in my opinion, I'd have to move Greedy Williams or Denzel Ward in that trade.
So would you do Greedy Williams in a second round pick for Jalen Ramsey right now?
Oh, absolutely. Blink of an eye.
So here's the other thing that, you know,
but I don't think Jacksonville would do that.
Here's the other thing that it's easy to forget. Ramsey wants a new deal. He's under contract for next year, $13 million. And that's that fifth year option. But he's going to want a new deal, and that's the difficult part now if you're the Browns.
And they already have a problem with Demarius Randle. They couldn't get him extended, okay? Mm-hmm. And Demarius is going to probably get $15 million a year next year on the open market, if mm-hmm. not more than that, okay? See, that's the balance right now. Like, it's fun for us to talk about that particular scenario. Yeah, in a blink of a freaking eye, I'd trade for Jalen Ramsey. Are you kidding me? Hell yeah, but there is the reality and the fiscal responsibility here that John Dorsey has to maintain, because, again, you're going to have to pay the following. And this is, I got to get into the Miami Dolphins situation here in a second, too. But this is, you know, you're going to have to pay Baker. You're going to have to pay Miles. You're going to have to pay Denzel. You're going to have to eventually at some point pay Nick Chubb. Like, it's a great problem to have, mm-hmm. right? But there's going to come a point where you're going to have to let good players walk away because you can't pay them, and you got to create that cycle.
Sure.
And you got to create your own farm system per se. Okay. Demarius Randle, if you can't keep him, you better have someone that can come in and take over for him. And right now the Browns do not have that player. Okay. So that's, I think, the problem with trading for Jalen Ramsey is, okay, they already can't keep their own guy in Demarius Randle. At least it appears right now. So why would I trade for a guy who is disgruntled where he's at? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I mean, Jarvis had that reputation. Odell had that reputation.
Sure. I get what you're saying.
Opportunity knocks, right? You're taking advantage of it. But my point is, if you can't take care of one of your guys already, why would you trade for another guy that you got to extend?
And that's a good question. My argument would be he's way better than Demarius Randle. I know we like Demarius, and he was great last year, and he surprised people.
Understood.
So that would be just overall talent. Here's the other thing, though. Are you willing to let Jalen Ramsey just go one-on-one in shadow? Because that's
Yeah. That's kind of what he likes. He doesn't like playing a zone. He wants to go up. Like, you play the Patriots
he
in
wants
the playoffs.
To play man. That's his biggest problem with his defensive coordinator, why he got into that verbal altercation on the sideline, which, you know, once that happens, he's got to go. What once you have a scene like that on
it's
your
side.
It's
hard to overcome.
Right. He has to go. But with him, he wants to play man-to-man. He wants to be on an island by himself. He doesn't want to be in, like you were talking, he doesn't want to be in zone. He wants to be in man-to-man.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a big reason why he's so unhappy. But see, he also understands, though, that, I mean, he can play man-to-man, no question about it. But that, see, man-to-man's going to get him paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Man-to-man gets him paid. Zone probably doesn't get him paid.
Not as much, yeah, because he can't make the plays on the ball. He can't interceptions, all that stuff. It's much harder.
I want to touch on the Dolphins situation real quick, okay? Because I know that they're stacking all these first-round picks. I think they got three next year now.
I think five in the next
By the
drafts.
Way, did you see Xavier Howard's tweet last night?
Yes, the Will Smith. You are no one's left. Yeah, loved it.
Where'd my family go?
Yep.
Yeah, phenomenal tweet. And I think we've talked about this on the podcast, but I just want to reinforce it. Congratulations. Take your victory lap. You're going to be the worst team in NFL history. You're going to be worse than the 0-16 Detroit Lions. You're going to be worse than the 0-16 Cleveland Browns. The Browns' point differential through two losses in 0-16 was 17 points.
Mm-hmm. They were in games. People forget
Yes,
that.
They were in games. They just sucked enough not to win any of them. The Dolphins don't even belong in the National Football League right now. Minus 92 point differential? Are you effing kidding me? I don't wish that on any fan base. We went through it here in Cleveland for 3 years of unwatchable football. I don't wish that on Dolphin fan at all. Okay? That's not even a competitive team down there. The Browns at least were competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could at least fight over Hugh Jackson being a crappy coach and decisions that he made in games that cost them the ability to win those games. You can't have that conversation in Miami right now. So collect all your draft picks that you want. But I'm telling you, it's a long way back up. And, you know,
it's an inexact science. It's really hard to get the draft right.
Their argument is, look at the Browns right now.
Is that what? There's no way that's what they're saying.
That's I think what they're saying down there is, look at what the Browns did with all those draft assets and all the salary cap space. I go back to, okay, let's say you find your franchise quarterback. That's fine. Who's the Odell Beckham Jr. you trade for? Who's the Jarvis Landry you trade for? Who's the Demarius Randall that you trade for? Can you draft Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams and Miles Garrett?
That's the hard one. Garrett.
I understand. Nick Chubb. Just, I'm keeping it real.
Rebuilds sound great until you're in one.
Right. I'm not trying to diminish the rebuilding that John Dorsey has done. Okay? But I'm just trying to be very, very matter of fact that this is not a blueprint. This is not something, like, for instance, in the 90s, Major League Baseball, everyone was trying to copy the Cleveland Indians. Draft well, make savvy trades for those fringe minor league, upper level minor league / young major league players. Buy out all their arbitration years, extend them, okay? Get them so that when they hit superstardom, you got them for pennies on the dollar compared to what they probably should be paid. That's a formula the Indians to this day still try and follow. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's copyable. That's... Everyone can do that in baseball, or try to do that in baseball, and it makes sense, and you can replicate it. What the Browns have done as far as rebuilding this with a combination of savvy trades, taking advantage of disgruntled situations... Okay,
mm-hmm.
And getting guys out of bad situations who are really, really good players, like that's not an exact science. Just you mentioned the draft too. First of all, the players have to be there in the draft. The quarterback's got to be there. The franchise defensive end's got to be there. The franchise running back's got to be there. The franchise shutdown cornerback's got to be there. okay?
You know what I will say, though?
Browns, check, 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 check. Perfect storm for the Cleveland Browns there.
Mm-hmm. You know what I will say? If their plan is to tank, and it's awful for the fans, especially when it's this product, and build in the draft this year, they have three firsts. I'm not talking about tanking for Tua. We talked about this. I don't think he's that good.
Right.
2021, Trevor Lawrence, the Golden Locks in Miami. That feels like a perfect fit. You got to build the team now in this draft. Get linemen, get, you know, defensive linemen, get talent. And then when Trevor Lawrence gets there in 2021, assuming you're bad enough in both years, and they looks like they might be, it can work. But to your point, it is much, much harder to rebuild. I have Indians fans daily that'll tweet me and say, let's start the rebuild now. And it is I know, it sounds ridiculous and you're making a face. I went through a rebuild in Cincinnati. They're still kind of trying to get out of it with the Reds. That started in 2014.
The Indians, first of all, the Indians don't need to rebuild. Secondly, they are rebuilding. Or maybe they're not rebuild. Let me rephrase. The Indians are retooling. They're recharging.
Well, they're getting younger. They're getting that roster younger. They're not holding on to assets that are about to depreciate.
Right.
And they're moving off guys, Edwin Encarnacion, who, by the way, has dealt with a bunch of injuries this year.
I still say they will sign Francisco Lindor.
We'll talk about that at some point. Now,
I just don't know if the Dolans will own the team when they actually have to pay Francisco Lindor. Back to you.
So when you say that, it's one thing to do what the Indians have done, which, yeah, they did shed payroll, but they got rid of Yan Gomes for who? Jeffrey Rodriguez and Daniel Johnson, and Daniel Johnson might start in the outfield next year for them at some point, right? Roberto Perez, they believed in him, and guess what? He's delivered. Like, a lot of their moves make sense. So, rebuild? What the hell are you talking about, rebuild? Look at all that young pitching. So, they don't need to rebuild. They're there anyway. They're going to have new faces, and they're going to make moves this offseason. But the key in sports,
and guess what,
is to never have to go rock bottom and rebuild.
They're above 500 too.
And that's what they're trying to do, is do it on the fly. And with the Dolphins, they're admittedly like, hey, we got to rebuild. And honestly, if I'm Brian Flores, I think you got 5 years. You're going to be like 1-30 or 2-30 in 2 years. You're going to Hugh Jackson type record. So you better hope they believe in you for that year, that third year, because that's like year one.
Oh, no. I guarantee you Brian Flores won't be the coach of that team in 3 years.
But that's the thing. Is like Hugh Jackson, in hindsight, never would have came here. Because in his mind, and I get there's more to it, he would have said, oh, I'm not going to have the talent to win, so I'm not going to go in that situation. I thought we were going to get a quarterback sooner. That's what he would say.
Yep.
And that's what Brian Flores is going to say if he's fired after 2-30. And that's around the record.
And he will be.
And that's the record I project.
It's not an if he will be. No, he will be fine.
2-30 is where I project the Dolphins. And that feels generous at this stage.
If I remember correctly, I think the Dolphins have had as many head coaches as the Browns have had since 99. And they have, I think it's since 2002, they've had as many starting quarterbacks as the Browns do.
It's wild. Wild.
And now we look at both situations.
Completely different. By the way,
the Browns are on the rise.
Guess what else?
And the Miami Dolphins are doing the demon drop straight down the elevator.
Can we talk about the big win yesterday?
The big win?
Yeah.
There was a big win?
Yeah. As in the biggest takeaway, the MVP of the game. Do you know what it is? Daryl, I will.
I gave my game balls out. Is it one of my six game ball winners?
Did Austin Seibert get a game ball?
Yes.
That's right. Then yes. 3-for-3, baby. They got a kicker. He's 5-for-5 on kicks. 3-for-3.
How can I not give the leading scorer on the team a game ball? He had 11 points last night.
And you guys are worried about Austin Seibert, man.
I was peeing down my leg about
you
Austin
guys
Seibert.
Are questioning
worried.
Austin Seibert. Did John Dorsey draft him? He did. All right. He's going to be good.
Okay.
Unless you went to Nevada.
Or play offensive line.
That's right. No one can get offensive line right in this league. Good God.
John Dorsey.
No one knows how to
draft finding
him.
Quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, defensive backs.
Kickers. Cannot
find offensive linemen save his life.
3-for-3.
Did you notice last night they gluing a tight end to Chris Hubbard all night?
Well, I thought they overpaid Chris Hubbard from the get-go.
Yeah, they did. He was a backup for the Steelers, and the Browns paid him starter.
And he had a pretty good year for the Steelers.
I know.
And showed he could play some tackle, be like a swing tackle, but he's really a guard. And now you're relying on him to be like the man at tackle. It's just a lot. So, no, and here's the other thing. I'll pass on the Jalen Ramsey deal. Can we get a Trent Williams? Can we get that deal done? I'll do a first right now for Trent Williams. Jalen Ramsey, I'm fine with Greedy being the number two and all that. Trent Williams, find a way to get it done, John Dorsey.
You still want Trent Williams.
Hell yeah. And this team, they're going to go into Foxborough and win with that offensive line? Zero chance. No. Literally zero right now. I don't care what Miles does. I don't care what Baker and Odell do. They cannot beat the Patriots with that line. That's the standard.
I hear you.
Go get him. He's got to pass a physical. So that's the only question mark to me is the medicals. As long as he can pass a physical and he's healthy and they check all those boxes, he's worth a first pick, round pick. I'd give up a 1 and a 3 for him. I'd give up a lot. He changes everything. Then Greg Robinson is either moving to the right side and you put Hubbard at guard, which you could do, and you're suddenly much better on the line.
I just think it's too hard midseason to shuffle your line like that.
Ask the Patriots. They've had like 4 injuries. They brought new offensive linemen in. Cincinnati, University of Cincinnati alum Corey Cunningham out there for the Pats. You've never even heard of Corey Cunningham.
Stop making valid points, will you?
I'm just saying. All right. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Erpine. We're going to have a ton on the website all week long at 92.3thefan.com. Obviously, the Browns gearing up 6 days. Heck, 5 days. Is it five?
They will be off Tuesday. They'll practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Walk through Saturday. Sunday night football.
All right, Sunday night football. Up against a big Indians Nationals national game. Is it national? No, it's Phillies. Indians Phillies on Sunday night. I hated that they moved that, but you know, whatever. Thanks ESPN. But no, it'll be all right. They're going head to head. So either way, look, if you're looking for Tribe coverage, if you're looking for Browns coverage, if you're looking for Cavs coverage with Cavs right around the corner, there's one spot. 92.3thefan.com.
My suggestion for you Sunday night, if you're not attending either one of those games, 3 words, picture in picture.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. And the thing is the way baseball goes, you might know by the time the football game comes on who's going to win, and you could just follow it on your phone. And then if it gets good again, just flip it back. That's what I would do.
Or go to Progressive Field for the first 3 innings and then walk down to the stadium for the...
You could get a good 5-6 innings in. I think it'll be towards the latter part of the game.
Not in today's game, you can't.
God, I'm hoping. I don't want to be like covering the Indians at 11 at night when the Browns are on.
Well, the good news for you is we play opposite sides of town.
Oh, yeah. I live closer to the Browns stadium, so... Anyways, all right. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Erpine. Make sure you subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, as we're making our plans for Sunday. Just make sure you're following us and keeping track of everything as the Tribe try to make a playoff push and the Browns try to beat the NFC champions on Sunday Night Football. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back at it next week right here on 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.